It is good to see everyone today. It is good to be with you here today. Hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. Tonight we will talk about kind of living in the digital world, the media world that we live in. One of our resolutions, or one of the things we talked about being a goal for 2017, was disconnecting and reconnecting. And so tonight we're going to talk about events that kind of surround that, how we're affected by the constant barrage of information, and how that we can kind of disconnect and reconnect. So I hope that you can be back tonight for that. If you have not had the opportunity to fill out the form in the back, as far as the kind of the member form that's got name, address, and birthdays and things like that, if you could please get that filled out. And also, if you've got an email address, please add that to it so that we can get you included in the weekly emails, and then any updates that happen throughout the week. So I hope that you can fill that out. If you did not get a book, we have some more books in. And so if you need one of those one-word devotional books, they are on the back table. You know, there he was, just as he had finished doing what he was supposed to do. He had finished what he had been asked to do, and now he is angry. Just angry that things worked out the way they did. He's not happy because it didn't work out the way he wanted. You know, he knew that if he did what was asked, he knew that if he followed through with all that he had been asked to do, that in the end, the evil would not be punished. Now he's angry. And he wants God to just take his life. Talking about Jonah. At the end of Jonah, we remember the story of Jonah because Jonah was swallowed by the big fish. Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of this big fish. Jonah ran from God. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do what God said. But after the wake-up call, Jonah follows through with all that God had asked him to do. He goes to Nineveh, he preaches, and then Nineveh repents. Then God doesn't punish them. Chapter 4 of the book of Jonah is all about the discord that Jonah feels in that God didn't destroy Nineveh. He's angry. And he asks God, "Why don't you just take my life?" It's a very interesting set of events as you watch them unfold. If we go back and read the story of Jonah, you know, it's hard to get to the end of the book and feel good about Jonah because he's angry that God didn't destroy people. He's angry that God didn't kill a bunch of people. He saved Nineveh. You know, there's a lesson in there. And the lesson is very similar to what we read about this week. You know, when anger takes hold of our heart, when anger takes hold of our lives, we sometimes say and do things that don't make a lot of sense. Here's Jonah complaining directly to God because God didn't destroy a whole bunch of people, because he's consumed with his anger. The word wrath is defined in Webster's dictionary as a strong, vengeful anger or indignation. Retributory punishment for an offense or a crime, divine chastisement. Wrath. Jonah is a good example of what happens when wrath takes over. We can find ourselves in a position of losing control of the ability to kind of see things for what they are, and to realistically look at life.
Jonah was so angry that he just simply sat down. In a sense, he just started throwing a fit. We've all seen it. We've all been at the store. We've all seen some kid not get what they want, and they fall down in the floor, and they start complaining because they didn't get what they wanted. That's Jonah at the end of the story. He's just sitting there complaining because God didn't punish the evil but saved people. It's amazing what we miss when we can become overcome with wrath. There's example after example in Scripture of men who gave in to their anger, and now we remember them because of what they did. Genesis chapter 4 tells about Cain, whose offering was not acceptable to God, but his brother Abel's was. Cain became angry and killed his brother. Overcome with wrath. Numbers chapter 20 tells the story of Moses. Moses and Aaron, as they became angry with the people, and we all understand how that probably played out, as those people complained and griped and fussed. But they became angry, and instead of speaking to the rock to draw out water, they struck the rock. Moses put himself in a position to let his anger get the best of him, and because of that, Moses did not get to enter the promised land. 2 Kings chapter 5 tells the story of Naaman. Naaman was a very powerful soldier, but he had one problem. He was struck with leprosy. He was told there might be a solution to his problem. If he would just go see Elisha, the man of God, perhaps he could be healed. And so he went to see Elisha, and Elisha sent word to him to go dip in the Jordan to have his leprosy removed. Naaman became angry, furious, because Elisha didn't himself come out, pray over him and touch him and heal him right there. He was willing to walk away from being healed of leprosy because he became so angry that it didn't work the way he wanted it to. Luckily, one of his servants said, "Are you serious? You're really going to give up being cured of this dreaded disease because of this?" Naaman almost cost himself the cure. Esther chapter 3 talks about a man named Haman who became so filled with rage because Mordecai would not pay him homage. So filled with rage was Haman that he set out not only to destroy Mordecai, but everybody that was related to him. He set out to destroy an entire race of people because one man would bow down to him. Haman ended up losing his own life, having all of his things taken away because his rage had gotten the best of him. How do we handle wrath? What do we do to overcome anger? Because we've all been in situations where we're pretty fired up about something. We're angry. And that anger follows us. It consumes us at times. We have to understand the reality of what we're facing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 lists some things that we don't want to be part of. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And you look there as you go through this list. Verse 20 says, "Fits of anger." And then you drop down to verse 21 where he says, "I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Why is wrath such an important thing for us to study and to understand? When we are overcome with anger, when we're given to fits of anger, when wrath takes hold of our heart, it changes us and we can't be productive as Christians. If anger's taken hold of our heart. And when that becomes what we're known for, Paul says, it's kind of hard to to inherit the kingdom of heaven when that type of anger has taken root. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, give us a little bit of a tip on how we deal with anger, how we deal with things that have gone wrong, or when we're having difficulties, and specifically when we're having troubles with others. James chapter 1 and verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James gives us a tip. He gives us some helping words here. When we find ourselves in a situation where someone may be pushing our buttons, someone may be causing us to be angry, or the anger that we feel is just welling up inside of us and we're having trouble dealing with it, James says, take a moment. In a sense, take a breath. Think. He says here, everyone needs to be quick to hear. Listen. Think. Breathe. Pause. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Be careful with our response. Very slow to respond. And then slow to anger. Taking a chance, taking a moment to really kind of consider what it's going to mean. Because he says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. When was the last time you saw someone good and angry, and they said very eloquent things? They said things that maybe they were proud of later. We don't usually say those things when we're angry, do we? We need to take a moment to breathe. Take a moment to think. Take a moment to understand. Anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Well, you may be asking or maybe thinking about this. Well, wasn't Jesus angry? Didn't Jesus get mad? Yeah, he did. Jesus was angry. When he cleansed the temple, he overturned those tables. He was angry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 31. Paul says there, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, being honest, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talking come out of your mouth, but only as such is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he had the right to do so. It was his Father's house. They turned it into a den of robbers. Jesus did not sin when he cleansed the temple. You see, what happens when we're angry, Paul says, the devil sees opportunity. The devil sees opportunity to unleash several tools in his toolbox that can lead us away from God, and or at least hamper our ability to be a good example for him. It's okay to be angry. And there are situations where that is the just response. We are angry sometimes. When people take the Lord's name in vain, when people mock God,
When people say bad things about our family, when people treat us unjustly, we're going to be angry. But we need to be careful how we use that anger. Paul says, be angry and don't sin. James says, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Because the anger, the wrath of man, does not accomplish the righteousness that God requires. Got to be careful. But what about God's wrath? As we think about the subject of wrath, we think about maybe wrath that takes root in our heart, maybe wrath that anger that can consume us. There's another side to this subject, and that's the wrath of God. You know, certainly we will sometimes be angry when people attacked God and His Word. But this anger must be kept in check. Even when it revolves around God, we have to be careful because we're still commanded to speak the truth in love. And we have to leave room for God to render His own judgment and for God to pour out His own wrath, because He will do so. Genesis chapter 6 tells the story of Noah. And as we look at verses 5 through 8 of Genesis 6, it says there, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Genesis 6. We're 6 chapters into the Bible. I mean, we've just gotten through the creation and learning how everything was made. And you see how man has done. God's wrath was poured out. God's wrath on the world was brought by a flood. And only Noah and his family was saved. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God's wrath being poured out. We see it here. We see it again with Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it with the children of Israel as they turn from Him and are sold into slavery. God's wrath will be poured out in our day and time as well. In this age that we live, when Jesus returns, God will render judgment. The same God will judge the world. It's interesting that there are so many who seem to think that the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. There are those who seem to think, and just go home and turn your TVs on and find some religious program, and you'll find the message that God loves you and God will save you and that God's not really going to send anyone to hell. But the truth is, God's the same. He hasn't changed. And His wrath is a real thing. And it will be poured out and it will be felt by those who don't obey Him. Romans chapter 1 in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." The wrath of God is going to be poured out on the ungodly and the unrighteous. Those who are living in opposition to Him will provoke His wrath. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. "The times of ignorance God overlooked,
But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. He has fixed a day. He commands everyone to repent. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God will render judgment. And as sad as it is to consider, there will be those who will face his wrath just like in the days of Noah, just like with Sodom and Gomorrah. God will punish. The Hebrew writer even suggests, if God was so serious about the law of Moses, that he would punish the way he did, how much more serious is God going to be about the law that cost the blood of his son? The gospel itself. He uses the term trampled underfoot, profaned the blood of the covenant. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's wrath will be poured out. We can be assured today that in the end, God will right all the wrongs. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. Sometimes life doesn't seem just. Sometimes it looks like the evil get away with everything. They won't. I can assure you they won't. What man gets wrong, God will correct. But included in that are those who don't obey, or those who don't follow, or those who willfully, or as the Hebrew writer puts it in verse 26, sin deliberately. They will fall into the hands of that same angry God and will give an account of their lives. God will render judgment one day. His wrath will be poured out. But as we think about wrath this morning, there's no need for any one of us to be afraid of God if we live the way we should. If we give ourselves to him, if we obey the gospel, and then we live as faithful as possible, there's no reason to live in fear of God. None whatsoever, because of all his promises. But for those who willfully live in opposition and rebellion to God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We must be aware of the danger that anger and wrath can be to us. Our own anger, we must keep it in check. We must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We must keep our anger in check, because it's hard to represent Christ with anger. But we also must be aware that there are those who will fall into the hands of God's wrath. First off, we need to make sure we're living the way we should. But second off, we need to make sure that if we know someone who lives in opposition to God, that we do our best to encourage them to get right in his sight. We must do our best to serve and obey him and encourage others to do the same.
God loves us. God loves everyone. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for all. That does not mean that God won't judge. God will judge. That day is coming. Are we ready for that day? If you're here this morning, you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. On that day, on the judgment day, there'll be two sections of people gathered on the right and on the left. Those that are on the right will be the ones who obeyed and did what they were supposed to do. Those on the left will be the ones who did not. If you've never become a Christian, we want to encourage you to think about that. You heard the message of Jesus, believe it. Repent of your sins and confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away. Being on the right side. Maybe you're here this morning and there's things in your heart and in your life you want to get rid of. You want the prayers of the church. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?